Wolltest auch du schon mal einem AAA-Games-Komponisten deine Fragen stellen? Diese Möglichkeit hatte nicht nur ich, sondern auch ganz viele Zuschauer auf der Soundtrack Cologne 16 2019. Zum ersten Mal durfte auf der Soundtrack Cologne mitgeschnitten werden, dafür herzlichen Dank. Und du hörst hier einen Auszug aus dem 90-minütigen Panel mit dem kanadischen Games-Komponisten Michael McKenna, der die Musik für die Spiele Deus Ex, Borderlands 3 und Splinter Cell produziert hat. Die Musikbeispiele sind hier aus rechtlichen Gründen nicht zu hören. Alleine dafür lohnt es sich, live zur Soundtrack Cologne zu kommen. Das ist der dritte Teil. In Teil 1 und Teil 2 verrät Michael McKenna, wie viele Live-Instrumente er nutzt, wie er überhaupt seinen ersten Job bekommen hat, welche Audiofiles verschickt werden und wie viel Zeit er für die Komposition von Borderlands 3 hatte. Herzlich willkommen zu Soundcast. Mein Name ist Tim Heinrich.
Yeah. Where do I get more pressure? Is there more pressure at the games or at the television?
I think if I had more experience at TV, I might have a better answer to that. But I think the schedules have been better for me. When I did a show for Discovery where I did 10 hours of music and, you know, 4.5 hours of music in 10 weeks. And I was like, I'm not, never doing that again. Like, yeah. But there's guy I was talking to, I think Jack, or I might've been Jeff too, about there's some television composers that are doing 30 to 40 minutes of music every week. And for months, and yeah. They're really good at it. And it can take me like a month to do like 5 minutes. So
I guess you don't have the time to try things, turn some knobs and say, well, that doesn't fit very well, so let's try the next sound or something like this. So you get more freedom when you compose for the games.
Yeah, I find games like albums, because there's a really long production time and you can kind of sit and immerse yourself. And the other thing is that you're not, I guess it kind of depends, because you have, one thing I don't like about TV and film too is scoring under dialogue. I really don't like it. And that's generally usually absent from games, but at the game side you have the interactive side, which is a whole nother thing. But what I like about games, at least in my experience, like with Deus Ex Human Revolution, was that it was 2.5 years and it's super personal. And it's just me and just working on in that world for that length of time. So it feels more personal. Unless, I think if it was only like 8 months or 6 months, you'd kind of be in and out. And there was better ideas in the second year than I had in the first. And I was slowly kind of getting involved and seeing where the art direction went, and the game kept on getting more evolved, and I could go back and correct stuff I had done at the beginning. And stuff I'd done in TV and film, I'd never had that happen.
You told me some interesting thing about Deus Ex. You didn't write for the persons. You wrote for the environment.
For the environment, yeah.
That's been your concept.
Yeah, it's usually how I write specifically. I don't know if that works for everybody, but on that one is when I saw the art direction, they didn't give me any gameplay. They had some video, but the art directors at Eidos are amazing. And they sent me all the still images. And the still images were more inspiring than I think anything they could have done for in-game. It's just the lighting was beautiful, the colors, like the specific style and tone and the emotion of what they were going for was totally clear. So for the first year, I think half that soundtrack was written just on concept art. And a lot of that comes from that, is that when I started seeing the game, it started to throw the writing off. So you're writing for concept art, so basically this beautiful piece of artwork, and you write a piece of music, and then you see the in-game, and it's totally different. It's like the graphics aren't as high quality, but it still looks amazing, but it's very different once you start walking through those environments. And I think it started to kind of fuck up my writing a bit. So I kind of stuck back to the concept art, because it was basically a single still image of this environment. So if it's like Hengxia, China, and it's the streets, it's this beautiful image of what this kind of underground, kind of like impoverished kind of street will look like. It gives me the lighting and the emotional tone. And it's like, this is all, I totally got it. And it seemed to work that way. So there's still cinematics where you get more into the story, but most of that score is entirely built, yeah, to the environment. And then that also is when you see stuff in the environment, I tend to bring a lot of sounds from the environment in. So if it's folk music from a certain place, or instrumentation, or radio and television, clips and like weird sound design things, I tend to bring them all into the sound, like into the music, so that if you're playing the game, the music, a lot of the music feels like the sounds are coming from the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're musical and they're rhythmic and they're melodic, they're still built from sounds that would exist in that.
So like on screen and off screen.
Yeah, I think that's probably somewhat common for composers, but yeah.
And you don't have any agent, is it right?
No.
You do all the contracts on your own?
Yeah. Yeah, with a lawyer, but yeah.
Yeah. Did some agents ask you, well, I want to work with you, and said, no, I don't want, or?
Yeah, I had a few. Yeah, I prefer to work. I'm kind of solo. Yeah, no management or assistants. I'm kind of just my own little thing in a loft. Yeah, it causes some problems, but yeah.
But you wouldn't like to have an agent?
No. Yeah, I prefer not. And I don't, because I work on projects every few years. So if I think if I was doing a lot of projects, like in 2007, I had an agent, and that's 2008. And I think I was doing like a TV thing and another TV thing and a game thing. And none of the music I liked. I was like, oh, this is super flat and I can't feel through it, you know? Yeah. So I think now I work kind of specific, especially if people like Raisin came after me for Borderlands because he specifically liked stuff I'd done, and he's like, I have your stuff temped into the concept art, and he's like, so he's specifically looking for something that I'm doing. Like,
when you say a project needs two years, is it
sometimes
something?
It could be a month. Yeah. I mean, it just depends on the
okay.
how big it is. Yeah.
Did you have some parallel projects or something? Somebody calls you and asks, Mike, we want to have you to compose the next game. You say, well, I can't do this. Can you wait 6 months? Or did it happen?
Yeah, I used to take that, but now I just say, yeah, it's kind of no. If I know I'll be on something for a year or whatever, then it's everything's like no, no, no. Yeah, I'll just clear it. Like, I won't do anything. Like with Borderlands, I think I did one thing in like the first month, and then it was 100% that. That was kind of all I focused on for a year and a half. So,
so you had to say no a few times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, this might be the last project I ever do. So, yeah, depends on how it comes out. But yeah.
Okay, let's listen to some other examples. I guess you brought a lot of stuff with you. It's been interesting because I always try to hear the real instruments and how they have been processed. And the only thing I could recognize has been reverse played guitar.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you use the delay effect
yeah.
here again?
Yeah, there's probably quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and for sure. And most of the arps I do are usually, some of it's synthetic and some of it's done on guitar. And then I kind of merge the two together. It creates like a weird, kind of a weird tone. It's hard to explain, but it's probably sounds super normal. But
so yeah. It sounds very organic because you combine organic sounds, process them a little bit, and then you take synthesized sounds and combine them so it doesn't sound like techno.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit more natural.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I find that even because I was never really influenced, even though doing electronic stuff, I was never influenced. Like, I'm not a big fan of like the Blade Runner soundtrack, which is weird doing Deus Ex. What I like about the Blade Runner soundtrack is primarily the acoustic stuff. I think it's like Tears Are Written, no, Tales from the Future. I forget, there's a few tracks, but I think I kind of leaned more on the acoustic side of things, especially with like hip hop and breakbeat. And so with doing stuff like this, it's weird because that synth wave and that kind of that Blade Runner tone and that, especially that Basil Pelladoris kind of Terminator stuff, like that whole genre of music is one I'm not a huge fan of. So it's trying to figure out how do I do my style in that world. And I think with the Deus Ex was a little difficult because it's the references when I first started in that franchise were Nine Inch Nails and they were all super, super electronic. And then I came back with Lisa Gerrard and Peter Gabriel, Eamon Tobin, some Elliot Goldenthal stuff. There was just references that I was like, we can take this in another direction, as opposed to just doing a straight cyberpunk kind of score. But it took some convincing for them to be kind of like, I want a lot of vocals and I want a lot of world vocals and world instruments and acoustic instruments and minimal electronics. And then it slowly was a fight back and forth until we end up somewhere in the middle. Like,
do you record your own voice and create your own vocals?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a kind of catalog of stuff I recorded, but yeah, it could be library stuff or Ariel and Andrea, I used a lot. So all the leads in that opening credits are Ariel Engel. Yeah, so it depends, but I have a big catalog of stuff I just constantly pull from.
Okay, are there, oh, a lot of questions, great. So I bring you the microphone. We start here in the first.
You said that for Splinter Cell, you had to work 7 days a week, 24 hours. That listens, for me, that's like crunch time in the games industry. Do you have the same issue with the other projects, or did that get better with, for example, Borderlands 3 or Deus Ex?
No, I'm the same. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I think in the game industry, there is that crunch. There's in Canada, it's been a bit controversial with the hours some of the game industry is pulling. For mine, I don't have to do those hours. I set my own hours. I could work from like 9 to 5 and be done. I think I get really obsessed, so it turns into like not sleeping, and just I think there's probably a lot of us like that. Like,
yeah, I don't. I have a question, but I am not really sure on how to put it into words. I think, well, Deus Ex Human Revolution is quite different from the earlier Deus Ex titles in like mostly everything, and it's kind of like they only took inspiration from the first games and built a completely new thing.
Yeah.
Did you took any inspiration from the soundtracks of the first games, or?
Yeah, there's some influence. Like I know when we did the on-rail, I took UNATCO and built it into the theme for that. But for the most part, when I saw the art direction, I'd played the first game, I knew it super well. But when I saw the art direction, I was like, none of that music's gonna fit in what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because they had these beautiful, everything was kind of yellow and super dark and really warm. And the first Deus Ex got a really blue, cold tone to it.
Yeah.
And they had this whole, like, the story, I think, following with Megan, like, with the main character kind of, like, losing her. And there was this whole emotional element and personal side that was, like, it's in the first Deus Ex, but not in the way they presented it, like, with these opening credits. It just felt a lot more, the style felt really different.
Yeah.
So I think when I started to push into the acoustic side, that's kind of where the pushback was, is that... The first, well, the first Deus Ex has some, I think, some jazz, but it's primarily, I think, 99% electronic. And I think when they brought me on, and it was a pitch process too for that, is that they had a few people pitching, and I pitched something that was fairly acoustic, but for whatever reason, that whatever I did fit with the artwork that they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of art direction. And as soon as they gave me the green light, then it was me fighting for kind of how I wanted it to sound. So, yeah, and it's a pretty big departure from the first one.
Just a quick question. You talked about the music systems for Borderlands 3 and Splinter Cell, and I was just wondering how these end up in the actual game. Like, how much of the music that is playing in the game does actually use these, and will there be cues that interrupt these for combat or whatever?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Like, say, like, that system I'm showing is, there is only, for Borderlands is weird because it's not, like, say with Splinter Cell and Deus Ex, there's a lot of cinematic yeah. elements. There's a lot of story building and there's some of that Borderlands, but it's, most of the music is in-game. You're always fighting.
Mm.
It's like there's not a lot of breaks. Even when you're kind of mellowed out, there's just crazy shit happening all the time. So in that case, there's not a lot of break from... Everything I did was 100% in the system, except for the main ship, which I think they've shown on YouTube.
So basically the systems cover the whole range of emotions and intensity, and it's always using the system?
Yeah, there's some cinematics that kind of break it up. There's a few, and then there's a central hub. There's a couple of kind of hubs where it's just ambient.
Okay, yeah.
But ideally, any of the maps can be ambient, because it depends on how you play, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've also got a system where it's... The music will heavily adjust depending on how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of amped up and you're walking through an environment and it's not a problem, then the music will reflect that. That became a problem because people want action music even if they're they're level 50 and they're playing on the first level.
Mm-hmm.
So that became I'm not too sure how they solved that, but because they did one demo and even I said it was like, it's weird that I get what they were doing. They're like, yeah, we're trying to figure out how to compensate because people still want action music, even if it's easy. But we also want this language that if it's telling you how difficult this situation is. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting, like how it's received, because it's a pretty compared to, I think, with two, they went way up in complexity. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm actually very interested in the process of you like selling your ideas. Like you said, you go going like into more of an organic feel with the soundtrack. Yeah. And how's like the, because you're writing from concept art and you don't know how it will feel like in the end when there's actually moving elements in the game.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, I don't want like this Blade Runner because this like more the stereotypical like Blade Runner-y sci-fi, cyberpunk stuff. But how did you achieve how did you convince the people to say, okay, I want to go in this direction? Did you get them, did you give them also your thought process on it, or just a bunch of tracks so they have options?
Yeah, I don't think I would have won that battle if they hadn't done playtesting. Okay. The playtesting, I think, sold it. So they were getting really positive feedback, and I think they were like, okay, we'll just let it just keep on going and we'll see. But but they were testing really early. I think there was a first couple of things when I first started that I was building tracks, and then they were immediately doing some play tests for bugging, and they were getting positive feedback on the music. So they were like, okay, we're doing like, this is working. So keep on going in this direction. But I think I was pretty stubborn. Once I started, I had a really good idea of what I wanted to do. And then I think I would have done it until they fired me if they didn't like it. Like would have kept on going and wouldn't have backed down. So there was some compromise, but I think it was also me understanding that I was going way too far on the acoustic side and a need to, like, even the first trailer I played, it has the ARP, there's an ARP running through it. And the first version I did had more, it was more acoustic. And then we had to backtrack a bit and bring in some synth stuff. And it felt like it grounded the sound, kind of introduced the sound better of what the game would sound like. And that's partially why they kept on with me with the marketing too. They were like, we kind of want everything to match. But anyway, sorry, I kind of ramble on.
Thanks.
Thanks for taking time to tell us more about your process and the ideas you have and had on your projects, especially for Deus Ex Mankind Divided. As you worked in three, like Ed and Sasha and you, for example, for TF29, did Sasha wrote the cue, send it to you, and you did the creative direction process on it or something? Can you talk about something like that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, that's, every track was split. Everybody did their own track. So Ed did his own, and then Sasha did his own, and then mine. So something like TF29 is just me. Yeah, and I didn't envy Sasha on that one because he came in about a year into it. And because when I started, I was working pretty slow, but the game was way bigger than they expected. And just in the scope, because the music system was more complex, and I had done about, I think, 100 and something pieces of music for the first one. And then the second one was, there wasn't as much music, but the music was way more elaborate. So it was taking me longer. So he had to come in, and basically they were like, okay, so you need to sound like what we already have. And I didn't want that either. So I think he was kind of like, do your thing. Like, so I'm hoping that, yeah, it sounds like he said he kind of got what I was doing, but was able to do his own thing. And then Ed did Breach, and Breach was completely separate. It was like its own project, so he could do whatever he wanted, so.
Yeah, thank you so much for the interview and all of the insights. I have a question because I thought in the trailers it was pretty amazing when the sound design and the music worked really well together. And I was just wondering if you, at the process of composing, had the sound effects track already and considered it, or if it was the sound designer adapting to your music, or yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were working on sound design as well in your earlier career, so I figured you might be interested in like having them melt together, kind of, so.
For sure. Yeah, for the Deus Ex, pretty much everything that's not dialogue or like actual gunfire, like actual, like literal sound effects, is generally me and the music, so.
Oh, okay, nice.
So I played just the music with those trailers. They'll probably sound exactly the same, except for without the explosions and the dialogue.
Oh, that's awesome, cool.
Yeah, so all the intro to the one with the flying up to the, like the wings flying up to the, that's all part of the music, so.
Okay.
But I think because it blends, it's all coming from the same kind of production palette, So yeah. I feel it generally works better. And when they did, there was a sound designer that there was a couple of the guys that were doing stuff, but it's, and they became kind of like, how do you mix? Because they're looking at it and doing some of the like the run-ups to the logos, and they'll kind of do like a but then for me, for music, I can kind of bring it out of the music and have the music tail off and then reverse and then bring in a whole another piece of music that turns into that same sound effect. Mm. I think it tends to work a little better that way. But yeah, but we did some things where it's a few experimental ones where they just did sound effects and I just did a little bit of music and they could kind of do their thing. And
okay, so it was a bit of a back and forth as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and that's Johan Boudreau, I think, that does a lot of the ones for the CGI trailer. And he's in Montreal, but not, he used to be at Eidos, but does his own thing. But yeah, I wasn't sure if he was ever happy, but when I delivered the music, I was like, I covered everything. Like,
awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Regarding your solo albums as an entry point, can you get a bit more into that? Like, what else can you recommend besides sending it out to everyone? Because I'm at a similar point in my career where bring out solo albums and trying to get into the gaming industry, but it's hard to get it to the people.
Yeah, I know today is a lot different. I think when I was doing it in the 90s, there wasn't the same competition. I think at one point they said in MySpace there was 5 million bands. And it's like, shit. I don't know if the advice still works. I don't know if there's still an in. I know there's music agents, like supervisors, I think, here. And I'm actually curious how they work today, is if they're just kind of scouring Spotify or if people are still sending CDs. Or it's something like physical, or if it's just because there's so much music, like
yeah, that's I think that's part of the problem. Like, yeah. Like I think you don't really send out CDs, but more like so links to Bandcamp or SoundCloud or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's like so much like labels are being flooded with it, or music magazines, if they are even being read these days.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really hard to get attention in this whole mess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find, like, I don't know how other people find music, but I tend to find YouTube seems to be a place, because I think the way, I don't know, that'll probably come up in this conference of how the licensing and for streaming is working. Because I find a lot of tracks, if you listen to something on YouTube that the person has just put in, is something, a track that they like, even for game scores. I find a lot of people find my stuff through people that uploaded it with something else. So it might be like a GoPro video and people have put a track against it and like, so, but yeah, it seems a little intimidating if you're starting coming in, is that I don't know what, yeah, because in the 90s, you could literally just send something to like the supervisor at MTV, like, and it would go right to the desk and I would get a call, like, we got your package and we might use some of your stuff. I don't think you could do that today. No. There's got to be some.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I have no
it's all right. It's right. It's tough.
Really quickly, why did you switch back to Cubase or from Nuendo?
I think it's this. We were talking about this. Yes. The Steinberg has a thing with Nuendo and Cubase, which who gets what features first. And I found that Cubase kept on getting what I wanted first, and then Nuendo would get it a year later. So they did that with a few things. And Nuendo had an EPK with NEK.
Nuendo expansion kit.
Yeah.
Now it's all included.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I started with sound design in Nuendo first. So the films I did in Canada, we were working on Nuendo back in version one. So I stuck with it because I knew it super well. And then, but when I kept on seeing Cubase was getting better music features, I flipped over.
Thank you for taking the time. And I wish you a great soundtrack alone. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Die 3 Tage der Soundtrack Cologne gingen wirklich rum wie im Flug. Es gab tolle Panels, inspirierende Leute und ich habe wieder viele nette Leute und Kollegen getroffen. Daher empfehle ich dir, komm zur nächsten Soundtrack Cologne 2020 vom 22. bis 25.04. Du möchtest mit mir oder anderen über die einzelnen Folgen sprechen? Dann schick mir einfach eine Nachricht per E-Mail oder komm in die Facebook-Gruppe. Wenn du noch weiteren kostenlosen Content haben möchtest, wie Samples oder Zusammenfassungen, dann abonniere einfach den Newsletter und du bekommst kostenlos mein E-Book mit 45 Einnahmequellen für Musiker. Die Links findest du in den Shownotes.